content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Joanna LaForgia from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting content from the March 2026 issue of Southern Living Magazine. This week, we will hear from the editor in the Life at SL essay that begins each issue, and that will talk about the joys of raising chickens. All right? The cover of this magazine is a close-up of the entrance to a two-story white clapboard house, and it is on either side of the, we're looking at a double door, that's the front door, up some coffee-colored steps. One, two, three, four, five, seven steps. Seven steps up there, and there is a railing, a black wrought iron railing that's going off to either side of the stoop in a diagonal way. The stoop becomes wider as the steps go lower. It becomes a little more narrow as you go up on the stoop. But it's still wide. There's a double door that matches the color of the stoop, that coffee color of the stoop. And it is coffee brown. And then there is a lamp, a light that's hanging from the ceiling of a portico, overhang on the porch, a wooden awning, so to speak. But it's white wood that matches the house. It's got square columns, just flat square columns, and the top of it is a porch to an upper, to a door on the second floor. And that porch on the upside has a white wooden railing across it. And the railing has a star, wood in a star configuration. So there are four beams, one across, a traditional cross, and then the other traditional X across. And so it's kind of like a star shape. And then there's a door there. That's, I suppose one would think is leading to a bedroom. And there are windows on either side of the upper door and the entrance that we're looking at. And the windows are double sashes, and each, the lower and the upper sash, they each have 9 panes. So it's an 18-paned window. And there's some powder green, I would say, kind of like a steel green. This is the color of the Statue of Liberty green. Those are the shutters that we can just see a bit of going off to either side of the page. And what we can see in the windows appear to be drapes that match that color green. In the foreground, there are two white dogs sitting on the top stoop. They are long-haired dogs with long, flappy ears. They appear to me to be a mixed breed, but I'm no expert, but they are sitting there looking happy on the top step. And there's also a lot of topiary, a lot of greenery there. There are two small trees on either side of the entrance, and then three or four plants and containers in white containers of different textures or awnings, most of them round, and they have, appears to be, petunias in them. Gold petunias, the color of sunshine, and then a dark pink. That may not be a petunia. Yeah, they are too. Dark pink appear to be petunias. The print from the top to the bottom of the cover says Southern Living, and that's in a warm pink, like a cross between a tomato color and pink sunset. Southern Living. And then it says, Curb Appeal Magic, the instant charm of spring containers. Then the joys of raising chickens, which we'll hear about later on, and dreamy cheesecakes, and Why We're Loving Waco. Plus, on the bottom, it says The Prettiest Shades of Blue. March 2026. All right, so we're settled in. We will turn to the Life at SL, which is the editor's essay that begins each issue of the magazine. And this always begins, listeners, with a quote. And here's today's quote. There are no stupid plants, just misunderstood ones. And that's by Steve Bender, and some of you might recognize the name. He is the grumpy gardener who is featured in every one of these magazines, so we read about him each month as well, or almost every month. Oh, and here's a picture of him. This starts with a photo of the man in person. Now, we've often described caricatures of him, but we've never seen an actual photo of Grumpy. And it says here, the caption says, Grumpy at the Birmingham Botanical Gardens. And Grumpy does not look very grumpy at all, listeners. He's got a big smile on his face. He has dark gray hair and glasses. And he's holding out his hands with his fingers spread wide. He's wearing a blue polo shirt with a gray stripe across the chest, one gray horizontal stripe across the chest that has white trim on it, and appears to be jeans and a black belt, thin black belt. And he appears to be standing on the front porch of the house that we described on the cover, because you can see that the railing and those wooden, they're X-shaped here, so... It could be that. Could be another house. Can't see it too well. And there's all kinds of greenery in the background. All right. And the title of this Life at SL is Grumpy Keeps Growing. Our longtime garden columnist has some advice for you. When I look around my yard in the early days of spring, I have an endless list of questions. What do I need to do to prep my garden beds? When can I start taking my houseplants outside? What am I going to put in containers this year? When should I lay down mulch? What's the best time to prune my hydrangeas? Excuse me. And the one that has vexed me for years now. How on earth do I grow a healthy crop of heirloom tomatoes? These are exactly the kinds of questions that have kept our garden columnist, Steve Bender, in business for decades. Known as the Grumpy Gardener, Steve has worked for Southern Living since 1983, when he first moved to Birmingham from his hometown of Lutherville, Maryland. Prior to that, he spent several years freelance writing for publications such as Horticulture Magazine and Annapolis's Capital Gazette, where he learned to dispense advice that was just as entertaining as it was informative. If you've read his work, you know that he can find the humor in topics ranging from nasturtiums. Sorry if I mispronounced that, listeners. Nasturtiums. To neem oil, N-E-E-M oil, which is no easy trick. It's hard to say how many columns and features he's written over the years, but it's probably high in the hundreds. And that doesn't include dozens of digital stories, several books, including the 767-page New Southern Living Garden Book, and thousands of posts on his Facebook page, where, he claims, no question ever goes unanswered. In 2023, Steve started recording the Ask Grumpy podcast with business manager Nella Bailey McGuff, whom he often calls his sassy sidekick. The format is similar to his magazine column, answering questions, quote, to alleviate your growing pains, unquote. But now you can hear his responses in his gravelly, growly voice. One thing Steve has always known about gardening is that problem solving is part of the fun. If you detect a hint of annoyance at someone who's asking something he's covered many times, like how to turn your hydrangeas from pink to blue, well, that's just Grumpy being grumpy. He might not always confess to it, but the truth is that he loves what he does. Get him started talking about one of his favorite topics, like the myths of native plants or the scourge of crepe murder, and it can be hard to stop him. And while many of his answers can seem spontaneous, they're actually the result of exhaustive research, a habit formed by years in the editorial trenches of Southern Living. As always, he has a column in this issue, which listeners will get to, if not this week, then next episode, leading with some sage advice about how to keep dogs out of flower beds. He and Nella also have a new season of the Ask Grumpy podcast starting on March 11th. I doubt he'll ever be able to help me grow a proper heirloom tomato, but that's not on him. Some garden mysteries just can't be solved. Signed, Sid Evans, Editor-in-Chief, and he can be reached, listeners, at Sid, that's S as in Sam, I, D as in David, at southernliving.com. And in the right column here, there's a footnote, listeners, the plant that really pops, a bright idea for spring container season. And this plant is pink and dark pink and a deep purple. If you're looking for something that's colorful, hardy, easy to care for, and well suited for container gardening, Grumpy highly recommends Purple Daydream Dwarf Loripetalum from the Southern Living Plant Collection. Its vibrant leaves give it a wow factor for curb appeal, and it thrives in full sun without needing a lot of water. Hey, and that's our life at SL. But now, listeners, we're going to hear a little more from our editor, Sid Evans, because he has actually written the story that we're going to read about chickens. In the at-home section of this magazine, there's an at-home section and in the kitchen and an in-season section. And from the at-home section, we're going to read about the joys of raising chickens. The title of this piece is called Coop Dreams. And it's about the highs and lows of raising chickens, and it is by Sid Evans, also known as the editor of Southern Living Magazine. And we begin with a half-page photo of a chicken coop. That's in the background. It's a chicken coop, split rail fencing that's lined with chicken wire and covered with netting, creating a safe run that's about 30 feet long. So there's, just as we said, there's split rail fence. This is kind of a grayish-bluish. And it's got steps leading up to it in the foreground. We've got two cinnamon-colored chickens, brown chickens. All right. Coop Dreams, the highs and lows of raising chickens. Oh, and here's also an inset of Sid Evans himself holding one of those chickens in his hands and smiling at the camera. Kind of he's turned to the side. But he's his face is turned toward us. He's wearing black glasses. He has brown hair, big smile, and he's wearing looks like a cream-colored linen button-down shirt. And he's holding this chicken. All right. Our grand poultry experiment started with an unexpected visitor. My wife, Susan, had been talking about getting chickens for years, but I never thought she was serious. Then, one day, I came home from work to find an exotic-looking Polish hen with a crest of yellow feathers in our front yard. The dogs were confused, excuse me, not sure whether to attack or run for cover, and Susan was cracking up. There was something amusing about the hen's jerky movements, and when we picked her up, she got even cuter, trilling a bit when we petted her. After a few texts, we discovered she had escaped from our next-door neighbor's property. Her name was Primrose. So sadly, we had to return her. But when our 20th wedding anniversary came around, I knew exactly what to do. Instead of jewelry or a trip to the beach, I gave Susan a chicken coop. That was about 2 years ago, and we've learned a lot since then. We have half a dozen of them now, a number that tends to fluctuate. More on that later. But for us, the benefits outweigh the challenges. They are a constant source of amusement with distinct personalities and quirks. Bertha, an Americana who lays, it's Americana, A-U-C-A-N-A, who lays beautiful blue eggs, is the mean girl of the bunch. And she runs with a funny, unsteady gait, as if she's had too many cocktails. Poppy is the sweet one, a golden campine who's right at my heels when I'm scattering treats. Fiona, a frizzle with feathers that curl outward, looks like she just tumbled out of the dryer. And Maria, the barred Plymouth Rock, is pretty, but stubborn. Always the last one in the coop. On warm nights, Susan and I like to watch them scratch around the yard while we sip glasses of wine. There are also some unpleasant realities, what my neighbor calls the hard part of raising chickens. One of ours, a beautiful Polish hen, just keeled over for no discernible reason. Three others have been killed by hawks. Sometimes they can have medical issues, from infections to respiratory problems. Their feed is not cheap, and neither is the long list of accessories. A solar-powered coop door, a rain barrel, hemp bedding, and bags of their beloved mealworms. That can really add up. If you're only thinking about getting these birds because of the high cost of eggs, don't do it. But so far, the anniversary present has been paying dividends. We just introduced four new chicks, and they give us a lot of comic relief in a world that needs it. We have fresh eggs every day, and they love certain table scraps, like parsley stems, wilted lettuce, radish tops, and carrot shavings. I wouldn't recommend them for everyone. They need lots of attention and require both financial and emotional investments. But if you've ever considered raising chickens, maybe it's time to start taking the idea seriously. I'm so glad we finally did. And there's a footnote here about, so you want to get chickens. A few lessons we've learned the hard way. Excuse me, the coop. My neighbors had installed a simple model from Carolina Coops, a company based in Creedmoor, North Carolina. These folks think of everything, from low-maintenance water systems to proper ventilation to heavy-duty wire. We ordered one of their best sellers, the Carolina Coop, because of its elegant design. With a tin roof, board and batten siding, and a Dutch door, optional, it has a farmhouse charm, but is very functional, too. The A-cutch is right on the front for easy access, and the litter system with a hinged door is simple to clean. We also added a fenced 30-foot run covered with netting to give the girls a safe place to hang out during the day. in the mail. One of the more surprising things I've learned on this journey is that you can have baby chicks shipped. At only a few days old, they arrive in a ventilated box that you pick up at the post office. We raised ours for about 6 weeks on the back porch in a mesh enclosure and used a special heating plate available at Tractor Supply Company to keep them warm. A word of caution. Pay attention to the sex of the birds you order, or you might wind up with roosters. We accidentally got two. In most suburban neighborhoods, they aren't allowed. Their worst enemy. Living on the outskirts of Mountain Brook, Alabama, we have every chicken-eating predator around. Coyotes, foxes, raccoons, possums. But the real killers for us have been hawks. We like to let our hens stretch their legs and hunt for bugs for an hour in the afternoon, and that is when they're the most vulnerable. Despite keeping an eye on them, we've lost three this way, usually leaving behind nothing but a pile of feathers. It's been heartbreaking each time. My advice? Either babysit your chickens or leave them in a protected run or coop. It doesn't take but a few seconds for one of these aerial assassins to swoop in. Dog training. Initially, we were concerned about how our Boykin Spaniel and Jack Russell Terrier would interact with the chickens, but the key was getting all the animals off on the right foot. When the chicks were still tiny, we cradled them like pets, and the dogs understood that they were not meant to be attacked. Now, the pups pay them no mind. And that's our story about coop dreams from our editor, Sid Evans. We have a few minutes left, so we will turn to some tips and tricks from the South's most trusted kitchen, cooking school, the right way to roast a chicken. These are four secrets for superior results. Number one, for crispy skin, start by patting the chicken dry with paper towels. Blotting not only allows the skin to get golden brown and crisp, but also makes the seasonings adhere better. Two, for more flavor, if you have the time, season it a day in advance. Chill in the fridge, uncovered, overnight. This lets the skin dry out and helps the spice mixture penetrate the meat. Three, for better browning, baste your bird with its pan juices and melted butter while roasting to yield a rich, dark brown skin. You can skip the Thanksgiving turkey baster and simply use a spoon. Four, for juicier meat, once the internal temperature hits 165 degrees Fahrenheit, remove the chicken from the oven and let it rest 10 minutes. Avoid tenting with foil, which traps steam and softens the skin. Okay. Better than rotisserie roast chicken. Preheat the oven to 450 degrees. If needed, remove neck and giblets from chicken and reserve for another use. Pat chicken dry with paper towels. Sprinkle 1/2 teaspoon of kosher salt inside the cavity and tuck in 1 lemon half. Stir together 1 teaspoon each, seasoned pepper, dried rosemary, and salt. Brush the outside of chicken with 1 tablespoon of olive oil. Rub 2.5 teaspoons of the pepper mixture into the skin. Sprinkle remaining pepper mixture over the breast portion. Place chicken breast side up on a greased oven-safe wire rack in a greased shallow roasting pan. Add 3/4 cup of water to the pan. Bake at 450 degrees Fahrenheit for 20 minutes. Reduce heat to 375 degrees Fahrenheit and bake 30 minutes. Baste chicken with pan juices, and drizzle with 1 tablespoon of melted butter. Bake 15 to 25 minutes or more, or until a meat thermometer inserted into the thigh registers 165 degrees Fahrenheit. Remove chicken from the oven and let it stand at least 10 minutes before serving, before slicing it. And winner, winner, our editors tried 5 store-bought chickens and selected a clear favorite. There isn't always time to roast an entire bird from scratch for dinner. So that's when pre-made options come to the rescue. In a blind taste test, the rotisserie chicken from Sam's Club was our unanimous top choice for its moist, juicy, and tender meat. The flavor is savory and comforting. Very nostalgic, said one editor. So that's Sam's Club, listeners. And a footnote if you're planting for the future, a tip if you're planting this spring, you want to stay ahead of the heat. In cases where you're planting new options in advance of the changing seasons, get these things in before the heat of summer hits because you want them to be established, explains gardening expert Linda Vader. And you can reach her at POTAGERBLOG. She recommends keeping an eye on the 10-day forecast to beat the hottest temperatures. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Southern Living. We hope you enjoyed it and hope you'll listen next time. I'm Joanna LaForgia, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Once more, that's 919-832-5138. So long until next time. Thank you.